Solomon saw people who had done evil and wrong seemingly walking away without any problems. They just got away with it. He saw godless people honored, and he saw how godly people were basically hounded. So even though it may appear as though one who does evil has a good life, it is the one who fears God who ultimately has the God-blessed, meaningful life. And so we notice that something begins here in verse 10 of chapter 8, that he says, then I see. Solomon's looking at various things in an attempt to investigate or to seek and explain all kinds of things. And so he's got some observations concerning the end of the wicked. Look at verse 10 again with me. Then I saw the wicked buried. They used to go in and out of the holy place and were praised in the city where they had done such things. This also is vanity. Now, burial was important. This wicked person's buried, and a burial is an important part of Israel's history and honor for the dead. Typically, one who died was buried, and the people gathered together to grieve and to mourn. The fact that wicked people are buried implies that when wicked people die, many people show up to honor them. Wicked people do reach positions of honor and prominence, and Solomon had certainly witnessed lavish funerals for wicked people that had died. And Solomon saw that wicked people die and are honored by an impressive funeral. People gather to pay their respects to people who do not deserve respect. And that wicked person is religious. That pronoun, those, refers to the wicked who were buried. He saw that wicked people were religious people. Probably at the funeral there was much praise for the man who went in and out of the holy place on a regular basis. It did not matter what his character was. If he regularly went through religious motions, he would be esteemed when he died. And some believe the holy place refers to Jerusalem's holy city, and others believe it refers to the temple in Jerusalem. The verse makes it very clear that it's possible to go to religious services faithfully and still be classified as being wicked. And then that it says here that the wicked person will be forgotten. A wicked person may have done all kinds of things in the city, gained the applause of most of the people, but when that person dies, it gets before God, everything he did will be forgotten. Wicked people cannot please God, and their works are filthy rags, no matter how impressive that they appeared to be. And then we see that he makes some observations concerning the judgment of the wicked. Look at verse 11. He goes on, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. He noticed that God does not execute judgment against the wicked person right away. God's retribution is rarely swift, and it typically comes later rather than sooner. So evil people do not realize this delay is giving them time to repent. Instead of mourning over their sin, they persist in their sin, and as a result, evil people have hearts that become more and more evil. And God's judgment against evil is rarely immediate. It's against evil, it's always definite. And when God delays that judgment, those evil tend to harden their hearts and become more evil. And rarely do they repent. So we should use that time to continually analyze our own lives to make certain that we aren't drifting further away from righteousness and more into evil as we wait for Christ's return. And then he makes an observation concerning the outcome of the wicked and the righteous. Look at verse 12. He says, though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear God because they fear before him. So sometimes wicked people, they live long lives. They may pursue their wickedness 100 times. A person who may secretly sin time and time again and life just seems to move forward. In the end, it'll be the one who fears God openly who will win. And then he makes another observation concerning the outcome of one that is evil. Verse 13 says this, but it will not be well with the wicked. Neither will he prolong his days like a shadow because he does not fear before God. So he observed that life never is ultimately good for the evil sinner. Those who do not fear God nor pursue righteousness will never be blessed by God. A person may go on and on in his sin, but his life and memory will not be lengthened as a blessing of God. In fact, when he gets into eternity, his sin will stop and he will burn forever. It'll never be well for one who does not fear God, and it will always be well for one who does fear God. And then lastly, he's concerning life on earth for one wicked and one that's righteous. Look at verse 14. There is a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked, and there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I say that this also is vanity. So he saw futility on this earth. Sometimes the righteous man winds up being shafted by the wicked man. Sometimes the wicked man winds up on top and appears as though he's getting the blessings which belong to the righteous. And then sometimes in this life, the righteous do not prosper as those blessed by God. Sometimes it is the wicked person who prospers, almost as if he had taken the place of the righteous. And so in the end, the one who fears God is going to be blessed, and the one who doesn't will ultimately be cursed.